Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
An olive has to go through 3 stages for its oil to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you've gone through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming.
If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit. I feel a beating in the spirit. Oh, I feel a pressing in the spirit. Preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit. Oh, I feel a beating in the spirit. Oh, yeah. I feel a pressing.
Greater anointing, God. an excellent woman, one who is spiritual, capable, intelligent, and virtuous. Who is he who can find her? Her value is more precious than jewels, and her worth is far above rubies or pearls. The heart of her husband trusted her with secure confidence, and he will have no lack of gain. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, works with willing hands and delight. She is like the merchant ship, bounding with treasures. She brings her household food from far away. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and assists tasks to her maids. She consults the field before she buys or accepts it, expanding her business prudently. With her profit, she plants fruitful vines and in her vineyard. She equips herself with strength, spiritually, mentally, and physically fit for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong. She sees that her grain is good. Her lamp does not go out, but it burns continuously through the night. She's prepared for whatever lies ahead. She stretches out her hand to the staff, and her hands hold the spindle as she spins wool into threads for clothing. She opens and extends her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her filled hands to the needy. She does not fear the snow for her household, for all in her household are clothed in expensive scarlet wool. She makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is linen, pure and fine, and purple wool. Her husband is known in the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done noble and well, with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness. But you excel them all. Charm and grace are deceitful, and superficially, beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, reverently worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with all filial respect, she shall be praised. Give her of the product of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the city, in the gates of the city. Happy Mother's Day and good evening to all of you who are listening tonight to the Light of Portland. I am Pastor Kimberly Black here in Portland, Oregon, this beautiful, glorious day, thanking God for his mercy, his grace, and his loving kindness that he has shown towards us this day. We give all praise to God. We bless the Lord, we magnify him, we lift him up, and we exalt him for allowing us to be in his presence one more time. I pray that you are listening with anticipation, because tonight is going to be an amazing night. I hope you're getting ready. We give honor tonight to the Butterfields. We thank God for their ministry and their gift to the body of Christ. and for allowing them to share with us this platform to come to you and share with you right here from the City of Roses. We thank God for Archbishop Ruth. We bless her, woman of God. We thank you for your leadership. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your love that you have shown towards us here in this city. And we thank God for our sister, our friend, Pastor Sherelle Pennington. It's an honor to be able to do ministry and advance the kingdom of God with these anointed men and women. It's a blessing to be able to share this platform with them on tonight. We are blessed to be alive, amen. Blessed to be upright, blessed to be clothed in our right mind, and we are just in store for a treat tonight. Let's just want to share with you a few announcements. We know that if you are here in the city of Portland on next Sunday at the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, we will be hosting the Ava Nart Deaver Scholarship Fund. We'll be hosting a 7-Up worship experience. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor Black, what is that? Well, we have 7 speakers speaking for 7 minutes, and their topic is the word ends in up. So we have man up, fatten up, build up, rise up, wake up, get up, stand up. We're going to come and the word of God is going to come forth. We know that we cannot get enough of the word of God. The word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's life building. It gives us brings conviction, it gives us hope, it gives us direction, it gives us comfort, and we cannot get enough of the word. So I'm excited. Greater St. Stephen's is located at 3605 Northeast Mallory, right in between Fremont and Beach. And we want to invite you to come out and worship with us next Sunday at 4 o'clock p.m. as we celebrate the 7-Up worship experience. There also is a little treat if you come out and join us, amen, because the word of God, it tastes so good. It's so good to our spiritual soul. The Lord said, oh, taste and see that he is good. So we're going to taste of the goodness of the Lord, and then we're going to have a little something for your physical taste bud, amen. So come out and join us next Sunday. And then starting on May 21st, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 3725 North Gatenbine. That sits right in between Beach and Failing. Yep, we're right around the corner. We're sister churches. They will be having their spring revival. Pastor Dapper from Tucker Missionary Baptist Church from Syracuse, New York, is the guest evangelist. And I'm sure that Pastor Heals and the New Hope Church family would love to see your smiling face. And I'm sure that you would enjoy worshiping with the New Hope Church family. It's always a good time in the Lord when we come together. I also want to remind all of our listeners that are right here in the city of Portland, if you are hosting an event or your church is having an event and you would like to get the word out, please get your information to us by Wednesday. You can email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. And we will make sure to announce your event, share your event. Just talking with Supervisor Trina Hobson of the Oregon Jurisdiction Number 1 for Church of God in Christ. And we were talking about how important it is for us to come together as brothers and sisters, regardless of the denomination, but as kingdom builders, those who are ready to advance the kingdom, those who are ready to put the devil under our feet. And so I'm looking forward to more time of fellowshipping here in the city. And if you are even in Georgia and you know that some of your church family and some of your members and community people are listening on the line and you want us to make those announcements, please email us. We would be glad to share that information. Pastor Sherelle is in Georgia now, so she'll be joining us tonight. She's our speaker, so I hope that she can share some light about what's happening right there in Georgia. But before we bring the woman of God on, who's going to bring the word of God to us tonight, let's just go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, first of all, oh God, giving you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Father, we bless your holy name. We exalt you and we magnify you, oh God, for you alone are worthy to be praised. Father, we just thank you, oh God, for your mercy and your grace and your tender kindness that you've shown towards us this day. God, we lift you up and we ask tonight, oh God, that you would draw nigh unto us, Father. Father, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Father, give us a hunger and thirst after righteousness that only you can fill. And so, God, we ask now in the matchless name of Jesus that you would fill Pastor Sherelle with your word. Fill her with your spirit. Fill her with your anointing, oh God, that she may declare and decree a word that comes directly from you straight to us. Father, we need a word from you. We depend on you, God, to speak life to our current situation, to speak healing to our sin-sick soul, mind, and body, to bring restoration, God, and to bring refreshing, and to stir up revival in our spirits. So, Father, anoint the woman of God now in the name of Jesus. God, take her into your hidden treasure, Lord God, that she may speak a word from you. God, we thank you for those that are on the line tonight, those that are listening. May they listen attentively. May they hear something they've never heard before. May we hear something that will encourage us to continue to seek faith. May we hear something that will lift up our hung down head. May we hear something that will give us joy, unspeakable joy. May we hear something, oh God, to bring confirmation. An answer to an awaited prayer. God, we thank you for your word that's coming forth. We thank you for the woman of God that's bringing forth your word. We now pray, Father, your anointing on not only our speaker, but those that are listening tonight, that we may be obedient to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank God and amen. Good evening, Pastor Sherelle. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Good evening, Pastor Black. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. It's so good to hear your voice.
It's so good to hear your voice. We miss you. We miss you. We miss you.
Amen. The feeling is mutual. I'm looking forward to getting back to Portland. But, you know, when there is a great work to do, we have to put our foot to the plow and move forward as God leads us to do so. But I am truly, truly looking forward to getting back to Portland.
Amen. Well, I yield this call over to you, ma'am, that you may speak with us, saith the Lord, because we are ready. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is an honor to be with you all this evening. As you know, most of the time I am not one that would bring the word forth, but just provide the platform so that the word of God can go forth. So it is an honor tonight to be with the saints of God, bringing the word of God. But before we go forth in the word of God, I want to invite you out to Holy Convocation here in Atlanta, Georgia, that will be happening in July. So those of you that are in the West Coast, in Portland or in Texas or wherever you may be, you have time to get prepared to come to Atlanta for our 2019 Holy Convocation, a global gathering. The Holy Convocation will begin on Tuesday, July 16th, and it'll be a night of worship, nothing but worship, music, dance, song. Oh my God, just to be in the presence of the Lord and usher in the Spirit of God on the 16th of July. And then it will run through the 21st, Sunday, July the 21st. And they will have the host of Bishop Belinda Campbell, Bishop David Jackson, our youth pastor, Pastor Zachary Osler, Pastor Chris Bowen, and Bishop Kevin Jones, and of course Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and Bishop Dave Okpi. And then we will also have our guest psalmist from Pastor Jarrett and his wife, the Lewises. And so you don't want to miss it, saints of God. Come out and worship with us for Holy Convocation. For more information about Holy Convocation, go to comeintothelight.org. Again, that's comeintothelight.org, and all of the information and free registration is on the website. Amen. Well, it is word time, saints of God, and so I am excited about what God has to say to the body of Christ tonight. So let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you, the throne of your grace, Father, to say, Lord, that we humble ourselves before you, to hear what the Spirit has to say, Father. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds. Speak through me, Lord God. Decrease me as you increase, O God, and let the Spirit say what the Spirit has to say. Lord, we honor your presence. We ask, oh God, that you would touch our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirit, that we might be in tune with you tonight. I pray for everyone that might be ailing in the body, oh God. Touch from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And Lord God, I pray, Father, for every mother that is on the line tonight, that you would bless them, oh God, that you would say that they have done a great work, a work that you are proud of, a work that they will continue in as long as they are on this side of the earth, Lord God. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Thank you. And hallelujah and amen. Amen. So happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you mothers that is on the line tonight. I must tell you that I didn't understand why grandparents seem to love those babies that were their grandchildren. I didn't seem to quite get that until I became a grandparent myself. I love my children, but it's just something about those grandbabies. I tell you, I think it's the fact you can love them, kiss them, spoil them, give them everything you want, keep them when you want, and then send them back home. I think that's it. But I love those grandbabies. So for all of you mothers, I pray that you have truly had a blessed day. So tonight, saints, we are going to go to the Word of God, and we will be in the book of Judges. And I was pondering about the Word of God tonight. Very, very, very jostled between the Word of God tonight. But I finally think that I have what the Lord desires to be spoken tonight out of Judges. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Judges 4, and I am going to swiftly read through this text so that we can dive in and see what the Lord has to say for the saints of God tonight. So Judges 4, and I'll begin at verse number 1. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was say Arab, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord for Jabin. had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he has harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the woman of the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sa'ira, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak, I'm in verse 8, and Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sa'ira into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went with him. Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zaanan, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sa'ira that Barak, the son of Aben, On, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sa'ira gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Haraseth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sa'ira into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sa'ira and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sa'ira alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Amen. And I've just read Judges 4, verses 1 through 15. We will continue on in more of the text. But I want to dive into some of the scripture first. And if you notice in 4 and 4 of the scripture, I don't even want to go there first. If you notice in verse 1, when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. I want to talk about that just for a minute. I don't want to dwell on the fact that it had to say that the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, because that lets us know that the children of Israel, just as we are children of God, repeatedly step outside of his will. And we don't step outside of his will without knowing that we've stepped outside of his will. We purposely do some things sometimes that is not in line with what God has designed for our life and for our purposes. And because we step outside of his will, sometimes he is happy to give us exactly what we ask for. And so we have to look at this. God gave the people, the children of Israel, what they wanted. They wanted to be under the rule of some other god. They wanted to do some things of their own nature that was foolish of them to not want to continue under the covering of God. And God gives them a righteous consequence for their sin. He gives them what they ask for. He allows them to be put under another rule that is not his. He says that his people can go be with those people that they are trying to be like. And God will punish us by giving us exactly what we ask for. Because we don't know what we need, but he does. And when we ask for what we don't need and we try to go seek out what we don't need and God allows us to have what we don't need, we will soon find out who we really need and what we really need by getting into the bondage of what we want that is not designed for what we're supposed to have. And so God will allow us to have some righteous consequences that we don't think is all too favorable because we get what we want and we find out that it's not greener on the other side. And here it says that again the children of Israel sinned and God gave them exactly what they wanted, to be ruled by an iron fist. So the Lord, in verse number 2, sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Seira, who dwelt in Harah, south Hagoim. And it's so interesting that it had to give us some details about where God sent the children and why he decided to send them to Seira, who is the commander-in-chief. He is the one, really, that had the power because he was the military commander, the military chief, the one that was commanding the army. So the strong hand of the king came down by Seira. And so God put the children of Israel into the hands of these people for 20 years. And then not only did he say it was a strong hand, he said they had 900 chariots of iron, which is to say like tanks or mighty weapons or bombs or something great that the children of Israel had no defense against. And so they were held captive by a strong arm that they could not be freed from. And the only way they could be freed is if the Lord God himself got them out. And then it had to say a little bit further that he not only allowed them to be there for 20 years, but it says that he allowed them to be harshly oppressed. Have you ever felt in a circumstance that you were in that you were harshly oppressed? Has it been a job that you've been on that has just weighed you down, that it seemed like it was sucking the very life from your body? Were you harshly oppressed? Were your finances in such a state that you couldn't rob Peter to pay Paul because Peter didn't have enough money to give unto Paul? So you were harshly oppressed. Did you ever get in a situation where you say, God, where are you? Because I don't feel you. Sometimes we get into those places because we decided to do things our own way. And it had nothing to do with God because God raised his hand and said, okay, if you want it, you can have it. And so you prayed and prayed and prayed for that job, and he gave it to you. You wanted it, so you got it. You prayed and prayed and prayed for that man or that woman. You wanted it, now you got it. You prayed and prayed and prayed for that job. You wanted it, now you got it. And so you've got to understand that sometimes because of our own lusts, our own desires, our own wants leads us into oppression. And it isn't that God wanted us to have it. It's that he kept telling you no, and you kept saying yes. So he said, okay. So in verse number 3, saints of God, it says, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for David had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. And 4 says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. It's so amazing that the scripture goes right in and says that Deborah was judging at that time. It did not say that God began to send a woman or man of God. It says that she was currently doing the work. She was already in the process of doing the will of God for her life. She was doing what she was supposed to be doing and was a part of God's plan to deliver his children. But I want you to notice that in this scripture, it says that when Deborah was a prophetess, at the time that they were in this oppression, it says that she was the one that people were going to. It was a woman of God. When they were under the strong arm of a man, they went to a woman of God. And it's kind of contradictory of what we in the body of Christ have heard about the scriptures, because we always want to quote in the New Testament, that 2 Corinthians, where women are to remain silent and women are not supposed to be heard. But here it says that the woman of God was the prophetess of God, was declaring and speaking the word of God, and was judging the people. Now, when you look at this, when it says that she was judging the people, it says that she would handle the disputes between the people. So even the men came to Deborah to handle the disputes that they were having with one another. It says that she was able to hear what they said and give a fair assessment of what should take place. She was the small claims court of the children of Israel. She judged, and she also delivered words of God, because she was a prophetess. So it says that Deborah, being a wife, and later it says in chapter 5 that she was a mother, she was a woman of God, she was a mother, she was a wife, and she had a full-time job that took care of men and women, this woman of God, in the Old Testament. Now, we hadn't even made it to the New Testament. We've got Deborah in the Old Testament being a beautiful, strong woman of God. And it says that Deborah sat underneath a tree. And it's funny because they called it a palm of Deborah. So I imagine that she had been doing the work for so long that they named the tree after her even before she was dead. And isn't it something to be honored while you're yet still alive instead of after you've gone on to be with the Lord? So that's why we took the time out today to say Happy Mother's Day and to say thank you for all that you've done. And I have just a little something for you just to say thank you for being the mother that you've been, because I want to give you your flowers while you're yet still alive. So they named this tree after Deborah, and it says that she sat between Ramah and Beth-El in the mountain of Ephraim, and she judged the people of God. Now, if we jump down to verse number 6, it says, then she sent and called for Barak, and the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded you, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Now, if you read that scripture, it implies that Deborah is not giving a prophecy. It is Deborah reminding Barak of a prophecy or a command that has already been issued unto him, but he has not heeded to the word that has been given for God. But if you think about it, isn't that why they're under the stronghold hand now? Is because God said something and they did the total opposite of what God told them to do. And I can raise my hand and say that I am guilty, Father, forgive me, because I have done some of the complete opposite things that God, you have instructed for me to do. And I've ended up under strong arms that only you have been able to get me out of. And so Barak had been instructed to go to war with his troops. God even told him which of his troops to take with them, because they didn't take all 12 tribe troops. They only took two. And God even promised him the victory. There's a lot of things that we are promised, saints of God, as men and women of God, that we don't step out into when the promise has already been issued unto us, when the victory has already been given unto us. But because of our doubt, because of our insecurities, because of our lack of faith, we don't step out into where God has called us to be. And because of that, we are holding up that which has been promised to not just the individual, but to all those attached to the promise. Because if you look, and I go back to verse number 3, it says, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for that strong arm was holding them. It did not say, saints of God, that the children were saying, Father, we know we did wrong. It doesn't say, Father, forgive us for our sin. It didn't say we're turning around and we're repenting. It didn't say we're sorry for the wrong that we have done against you. It says that they cried out, Lord, help us, please. Lord, get us out of here. We are tired of being under this strong arm. And the Lord still listened to the children of God. The Lord still put a plan in action to get the children of God out of the situation that they had been put in because of their own disobedience. But God allowed them to be there for 20 years until they saw the struggle and the strain that they were in, enough that they had had enough to call upon his name. So I ask you, saints of God, when will you have enough? When will enough be enough for you to call on the name of God to help you get out of the situation you're in? Because as long as you are trying to fix it, God doesn't have to put his hands in it. But it isn't until you release your hands and raise them up and cry out to the Lord that he will come in and make a way out of no way. And so now if we go back to verse number 6, we see that God had commanded Barak to take two of the 12 tribes with him. But Barak, in verse 7, says, and against you I will deploy them and bring you deliverance from them. So it gets interesting, saints of God. It says in verse number 8, and Barak said to her, who is her? Her is Deborah. He said to Deborah, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. What do you call that, saints? I call that being conditional obedience. Barak had not moved from the first time he was told to go. He may have been scared. He may have been fearful. He may have been paralyzed in his own fear. He may have doubted his own ability. He may have needed some encouragement. He may have not understood what the call was on his life. For whatever reason, Barak hesitated. And not only did he hesitate, but he said a conditional obedience. He said, I will go if you, woman of God, go with me. And this is a good and interesting point I want to make right here. I want to say that sometimes we do need the support of our companion or of a friend or of an advisor or a counselor or someone that is there to promote us to go do the will of God. Sometimes we need that encouragement from the outside in order to push us into our destiny. But sometimes getting pushed in our destiny comes with a price. And so because Barak gave a conditional obedience, he said, I'll go for a certain condition. He said, I'll go if you go with me. If you meet my demands, I'll do what God told me to do. Amen. If you do what I ask you to do, then I'll do what God asked me to do. Then I'll comply with our God. Now, I'm wondering right here, saints of God, if in this let's make a deal, if Deborah was thinking about her husband, if Deborah was thinking about her children, if Deborah was thinking about the children of Israel, if Deborah was thinking about this 20 years of bondage they had been under, if she was wondering about how in the world are we going to get out of this situation unless at least that we follow the instructions of our God. And so her being without hesitation and her being without fear or doubt of what her God could do, her being without the thought of anything other than the fact that I'm going to be there for my children, I'm going to be there for my husband, I'm going to be there for the children of Israel, and I'm going to step out into that thing that is not my destiny, but is the destiny of the one God called to do it. But in order for my family to be saved, and in order for these other families to be saved, I must go and do this so that he can go and do the will of God. And sometimes, saints of God, we as women of God will do whatever it is by any means necessary that we have to do to make sure our families are taken care of, to make sure that we know the victory will come to our house as well as to the house surrounding us. If we step out and do what we need to do in order for the work to be done, even if the work is not our work, as long as we step out with the one that's doing the work to get them to do the work. As a woman, we will do whatever we need to do by any means necessary. And so she said, I'll go. But I want you to understand that your delayed obedience is seen to God as disobedience. Your delayed obedience is seen to God as disobedience. She said, but I'll go with you because you might lack courage and you might lack the strength to go, but I'm going to be with you. I'm happy to give you what you need in order for you to go because I have a family I want to be saved from this oppression. So she said, I'll go. Now, Deborah knew that the battle had to be fought. So she knew that wherever she was going would be into the midst of a battle, even though she knew the battle wasn't hers. Women of God, did you hear that? She had to go in the midst of a battle, even though she knew the battle was not hers. It did not say she fought the battle. It says she went into the battle in order that the man of God could fight the battle. So sometimes you will have to go and be a support system in order for the battle to be fought and to be won so that everything surrounding you can get the victory. She said that my children and God's children must be freed from this bondage, and so I'll go into the battle so the victory will be won. But she told Barak, if I go, she said, verse 9, she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sarah into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, the consequence for Barak, for his disobedience and his conditional obedience, was that he would not receive the glory that God had already predestined for his life, that God had already told him was in his hands. So there was blessings that he would be bypassing because of his conditional obedience. Are there things that you're lacking, or blessings that you're missing, or glory that you're not able to experience because you have given God a conditional obedience? I'll go if, I'll go but, I'll go when he had already told you to go. And so Deborah told him that God was going to give the glory to a woman. Now, I imagine that in the time that we're talking about, saints of God, what that would be to a man to hear that God is going to give the glory of a fought battle to a woman. I'm saying right there. Because even today, there are men out there that can't fathom the glory of a battle, a hard-fought battle, being given the glory to a woman. But understand, if he says that he would make a rock cry out for him if we don't do what he tells us to do, how much more can he have a woman get the same victory that a man is supposed to receive because a man became the rock? I'm going to stop on that right there. Praise the Lord. So he said that he didn't mind if he couldn't get the glory because he wasn't going without Deborah. And so in verse number 10, he says, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up and with the 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now, Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanaan, which is beside Kadesh. Now, I'm going to put a plug in 11, and I just want y'all to hold your finger on there. It seems like 11 is out of place, but there's a reason why that verse had to be in there. So I'm going to leave it right there and come back to it. But if you go with me to verse number 12, it says, and they reported to Sarah that Barak, the son of Abinadab, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sarah gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hagon to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up. And all she's saying is, it is time for you to move. Get up, start moving, move upward, be prepared. She didn't even give him a whole sentence. She just said, up. When you want somebody to move, I guess we just need to say, up. Wake up, feel up, get up, straighten up, strengthen up, just like that 7-Up messages that's going to happen. This one of them might be up right here in the book of Judges, because she said up to Barak, and he got up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Seirah into your hand. Hath not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from the Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Now, I don't want you to miss this, saints of God. In this verse, Deborah is encouraging him, or she's criticizing him. Whichever way you want to take it, she says, get up and go, because you already know that the Lord has given you this battle. You need to get yourself together and go on down there and do what it is you got to do. Now, understand that the glory has already been taken away from him, but he still had to fight the battle. So when we find ourselves in a disobedient place and we find ourselves going ahead and doing what we know we're supposed to do, we still have to do the work, but we won't receive the glory. We still have to do the work, but we won't receive the glory. The promises that have been given to us have been snatched away, but you still got to do the work. That's like saying, go to work, work your 40 hours, but I ain't giving you no check. Work as hard as you supposed to work, but I ain't giving you no check. Barak still had to do the will of God, despite the fact that he gave up his reward before it even began. Verse 15, and the Lord routed Seirah with all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak, and Seirah alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. So what has happened is the army of Seirah is losing the battle. And if we do some historical study, we find out in reading in verse in chapter 5, where Deborah is now singing her song, you'll see that they say that God caused a great rain to fall within the time of the war, and it was so great that the grounds were mushy and muddy, and you know, because there was no cement back then. And so what problem would that have caused? It would have caused a problem to chariots. They would not have been able to move in the slush, in the slosh of the mud that God allowed to take place. And so it shows that God was in the midst of the battle doing some natural things within the earth to make sure that his people won the battle. Don't miss that, saints of God, because when you align with God and you begin to do the will of God, he will make natural things within this earth line up and do some things in order that you may prosper and make sure that you do and get through all of it is that you're supposed to do. And you won't notice that it's just a natural occurrence. It's just a natural runfall. It's just a natural shutdown of the light system because the lightning flash. It's just a natural hiccup. But God caused that natural thing to happen in order for you to win. God caused the natural thing to happen in order for you to win. Amen. Amen. And so as we go on now to verse number 16, it says, but Barak pursued the chariot and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Seirah fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left alive. They got stuck in the muck, and God allowed them all to be killed. Hear that, they got stuck in the muck and God allowed them all to be killed. God will put your enemies and make them your footstools in order for you to achieve what he has for you to do. But you can't do it unless you go. You can't win unless you show up. God says, I prepared the way for you. All you got to do is show up. Verse number 17 says, however, Sarah had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Hagar the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Hagar the Kenite. And this saint of God is where we put our pen in verse number 11. It says that Sierra and Hagar were friends. King Jael was friends with, King Jabin was friends with Jael and her husband. And so Sarah went to a familiar place to go hide out. And so we needed to understand that there was a relationship there. And so he went to where he had a relationship in order to save his own life. And so as we read on in verse number 18, and Jael, which is Moses' mother-in-law, and Jael went out to meet Sarah and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Now she then prepared him a place to stay, made him a nice comfortable bed, and said, chill out, take it easy. I know you're probably fighting this battle, because she knew that there was a war going on. And she knew that Sarah was in the midst of a war, but I guess she probably hadn't thought twice yet. And if you look at 19, it says, then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. Now, I'm not quite sure why she didn't do exactly what he asked. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. How many of us women, a man asks us for one thing, a husband asks for us for one thing, and we give him something other than what he asked for. He tells us to do one thing, and we do something other than what he asked us to do. Now, I'm not sure why she gave him milk when he asked for water. Maybe she didn't have time to go to the well to pitch the water and had the milk right there. I don't know. But we got to make sure that when we are asked for something and we're given specific instructions, that we as women of God, we as wives, we as mothers, we as the sisters, as cousins, that we do what it is that we are supposed to do as it is asked of us, if it is not sinning against God. Amen. So in verse number 20, it says, and he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here, you say no. I believe, saints of God, this is where Jael woke up. She said, now wait a minute. This is the commander-in-chief of the army, and he is walking, running, sweating, coming to my house on foot, not in his chariot, not with his army. And not only that, I took him into my tent and I gave him some rest, but now he asking me to lie to him, to somebody. Now, this is at the time she's kind of figuring something must not be right. He must be losing this battle. see, women of God, we have an intuition. We know how to put things together. We know how to figure out and sometimes read between the lines of what's really happening. Sometimes we close our eyes and act like we can't see what's really going on because we choose to be blind. We choose to not see what's happening. And if she had chose to continue on with him, she may have ended up killing her and her family. But because she allowed the wisdom of God to endow her to know that something wasn't right, we read in verse number 21, it says, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. She got him in the weak of his moment. She quietly went over to where he was. She took the nail and she put it to his temple and put it right through his temple and all the way to the ground and killed him. And verse 22 says, and then as Barak pursued Sarah, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sarah dead with the peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, they did win the victory, but as prophetess Deborah told Barak, you will not get the glory. He allowed the hand of a woman to take down an army. He allowed the hand of a woman to take down an army because the man took sanctuary in the woman's tent and then asked her to lie for him. And so when she decided to do something that would save herself and her family, because understand, women and men of God, a woman will do what she needs to protect and take care of her family. So she had no problem taking him out because she knew she needed to take care of her family. So if you look at verse 5 as I begin to bring this to a close, it says, chapter 5, verse 1, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. When women of God and men of God, leaders, stand up and lead and do what we are called to do, we bless the Lord. Women desire to bless the Lord. Men desire to bless the Lord. And I hope that you desire to bless the Lord and will not be conditional unto God and what he's called for you to do, so that you can reap the glory that God has for your life. Thank you so much. Amen. Pastor Black, I'll turn it over to you. Amen, Pastor Black, I can't hear you. Make sure your phone is not on mute. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What a word tonight. We just thank God for his word coming forth, a word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word of correction, a word of rebuke, and a word to challenge the men and women of God as we work together to advance the kingdom of God. That's what God is calling us to these last and evil days, that we would rise up, raise up our hands, and call on his name, give him the glory, push each other, support each other, help each other, because God has called us to a great work. And we want to thank you, Pastor Sherelle, for that word on tonight. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. We appreciate you just coming forth tonight. I know it's late. You're still in Georgia. It's 11 o'clock, and we thank God that you shared the word with us on tonight. So we just thank God for you, and we pray tonight that each of you have been blessed by the word. We pray that you would take this word and apply it to your lives, knowing that God has called you, God has equipped you, God has qualified you to do a great work for him as you advance the kingdom of God. Thank you so much for listening to The Light of Portland. We will be back with you next Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Please tell somebody that the word is going forth on The Light of Portland broadcast. God bless you. We love you, and have a good night.